All right, if you have your Bible, turn to John chapter 17 with us. And we've got about two more Wednesday nights, and we're going to finish up this tremendous study. Whom do men say that I am? The apostles to the child of God, whom do ye say that I am? And Peter answered that question in Matthew. You remember, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And now we've been for weeks now talking about that subject. And if you turn back over, for just the last few weeks, we've been looking at chapter 17 of the Gospel of John. And though we've been studying, whom do men say that I am, this chapter is I call it one of the better prayers, or the greatest prayer that's ever been prayed, because Jesus prayed this to God the Father. And in this prayer, we've seen a tremendous thing, what God has done for us and is doing for us and will do for us to get us even to home in glory. We know for a fact if a person comes to know Jesus Christ as Savior, it's a birth. We know that. And therefore, a birth is given by God. In so doing, he has prayed to the Father that the Father would keep them. And he proved that, keep those that trust him. And he proved that he will, because he gave us the Holy Spirit to live in us till he gets us home. Down payment of that. And now he's praying to go back to the Father and get the glory that he had before the foundation of the world, before creation as we know of, even angels and so forth. And we finished that last week. So we looked in this chapter, and we know in verses 1 through 5, we share his life. Talking about the very life of God. That's the thing about it. This birth is not just getting another life like we had. It's getting the very life of God. And therefore, if you truly get it, don't mess with it, don't play with it, don't think you have, because I know 3 years I've sat in a church pew, thought I had it, and if I'd have died during that time, I'm glad that God don't take us out too early. Because you can think you're all right and not be right with God. Because we're not right just because we think we're right. We're right if we're right with God. And he sets the standard there, and Jesus Christ is the only way we can come to that conclusion. And so we know that we share his life, verses 1 through 5, Jesus taught that. We know that in verses 6 through 12, we know his name. He's revealed that name to us. We know also in verse 13 through 19, we have his word. And he says to the Father, he gave them that word while he was here. And he trusts God to keep them and send them that word. And then last Wednesday night, we talked about the last few verses, verse 20 through 26. Because we have shared his life, because we do know his name, and because we have his word, we will share his glory. You know why? Because it's a birth. It's not because we're attached to the church, but because it's a birth. And I'm glad to see that, because I know for a fact whatever God is doing, he's doing to get us ready for heaven, not to live here. Everybody, unsaved man thinks we're going to live here forever. In fact, you see all things written nowadays that just blow your mind. Some people years ago to pass it off with a grain of salt, but now you got people believing it. That as far advanced in science as we've been, in medicine, things like that, you see articles now, they really believe the day will come that we can extend our life to live forever in this life. Or are they fooled? There's no way in the world a person that can happen. But I know one who can, and when he gets us out of this life, puts us in a glorified body, we'll live with him forever, and we thank God for that. So we're going to conclude this, and then I'm going to, next Wednesday, go kind of a panoramic view of exactly what's happened as we talk about the end result of this thing. And I just call this, as we look at who Jesus is, and to sum up what we've studied in one package deal. But tonight we want to finish on this subject. And when you look at what Christ has done for us, I ask this question in conclusion: how do we know that Christians go to heaven? We talked about what Christ had done for us. But how do we know? Someone said, well, I know just because I believe in Jesus Christ. Well, folks, I want to tell you something. There are some people who say they believe in Jesus Christ, not saved, are not going to heaven. So it's got to understand, there's got to be some more to it than just man's mentality or psychology about this thing of new birth. So I'll just give you a few thoughts before, as we close this theme up, and then look at it in a package deal next week. How do we know that a Christian goes to heaven? Well, the first thing is what we've seen already in the last few weeks. We know this because of the price that Jesus paid for sin. The Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, that we're not our own. We have been bought with a price. Amen? The Bible also teaches us in chapter 7, verse 23, that we have been bought with a price. What is the price? We read the price, 1 Peter. I'll read it again so we can get an understanding about it. It's not something that the world looks at. You just trust Christ, and, well, he loves you so much he just saved you, and that's all there is to it. Some of you think you can have right peace with God and be right with God and let him have Jesus Christ. But we know in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, we've said it many times, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions of your fathers, or from your fathers. And he goes on and he makes this statement. He said, but notice, with the precious blood of Christ. I like that, don't you? I've got blood, but it's precious in the sense for physical life, but Jesus' blood is more precious, because not only can it give us life, it gives us eternal life. This blood can only give us temporary life, because life of the flesh is in the blood, but his blood is eternal. And he called it precious blood. He said, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Now, watch as you read these verses, just for summation a little bit, about the new birth. Who by him believe in God, who by him, who Christ, he's the one to believe in God, that raised him from the dead and gave him, that's his son, the Lord Jesus, glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. How? Sin, when you do that, when you receive Christ as Savior. You know, it's just not a statement, folks. It's not just to someone say, yeah, you know, I believe in Christ. There's a process in turn. And you heard me say before, like in physical birth, there's a process for physical birth. And there's a process for spiritual birth. And he goes on, and he's saying, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. And I've said many times, you must know the truth when you obey it. Through the Spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit, unto unfinished love, which is real sincere love that God has shown. And look at Calvary, and you see that love. Some people say, well, you know, God really loves me, and I know that. God said he loved the world. But then again, when you say that, and you say, well, God loves me, he'll never send me to hell, because God loves the world. Ladies and gentlemen, when you look at Calvary, you see that's the dividing line. God loves the world, but only those who benefit, who sees the love at Calvary, that he died for the world, that those who would believe his record and trust him would come to know him as Savior. And he said, the brethren, see ye that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Notice, been born again. There it is. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth in the body forever. That's why I know those verses. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let them become part of your life to talk to someone about the Lord. Because you need to go more. Thank God you got a testimony to get somebody, hopefully, attention to listen. But if you don't have nothing but your testimony and don't be able to give the word of God, what God can use to sanctify, to draw that person to the Lamb of God, our testimony gets their attention. But you're going to have to give the record that God gave of his son to get them saved. And so it's important we see that. And he said, been born not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which, I love this, liveth and abideth forever. Now let me ask you, the word of God, John 1:1, we know this is the written word. We know Jesus is the living word. And we know in Christ Jesus, we find in being in him is the Holy Spirit that lives in us, which he is the word. And that word liveth and abideth forever. And that word is the eternal life of God in his son. And his son lives in us in his spirit. And we have that word that liveth and abideth forever. That's the sure foundation. You and I are going to live forever, because he lives in us. I know it don't sound maybe reasonable sometimes. Do you think that what God knows to begin with, that he'd ever enter into an inner person who won't save? I don't. Why would he waste time in someone that's not saved? So you have to be saved, get the Holy Spirit. And that's where God works in the child of God to get home. That time growing for the playpen spiritual until we get home, growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And every step of our life should be a growing more, become like what God has said we're facing his son. And we've seen that all through the scriptures now. So the first thing I know they're going to heaven because of the price that Jesus paid for sin. If he had not paid the sin debt. Now, folks, listen. If Jesus Christ had not paid the sin debt, then far as I know, no one else has ever paid the sin debt. Thank you, Brother Gene. And I want you to know, if no one else has paid the sin debt, we're still lost. Because I entrusted the wrong person. Aren't you glad to know that Christ is the real Savior? Aren't you glad to know that God said, this is my beloved Son who I am well pleased? Aren't you glad to know that God set it forth that when Jesus said it's finished with the heaven applied the blood, I said a few weeks ago, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father, and then Paul comes along later in Ephesians 2 and says, you who are a savior in him, sitting there with him. Man, that ought to make your heart really jump up down inside of your bosom to know that what God has done for us is forever. But be sure you have it. That's the reason God said, don't beware lest you be a reprobate. That is, you claim something that's not true because God didn't say it. And he says it over and over. So the second thing is because of the promise Jesus made. How do I know I'm going to heaven? As I study about what we've done now, who Jesus Christ is, and know with Peter, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the one that God prophesied to come. Thou art the one that came and died and was buried and rose again the third day. He is the resurrection in the life, who went back to the Father with the blood. God accepted the blood. He sat down because his work was finished, and now the Holy Spirit picks it up to get us home, those who would trust Christ as Savior. And so I say now, it's because Jesus made a promise. What did he make? John 14:1-6. In my Father's house, many mansions, may rise. He said, I go to prayer place for you. If I go, I come again, receive you unto myself, and etc. And then we see in John chapter 1, if you listen carefully, in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, when Jesus started ascending back up into heaven, those angelic beings said about him what should be done about going to the gospel. They said, this same Jesus is coming back. I preached a message on that at a camp meeting not long ago. I may preach it here one of these. I think Keith and Dr. Wendell were there. But this same Jesus is not another one. It's not another coming. He's the same one. The same Jesus that prayed this prayer in John chapter 17. The same Jesus that said, that God said to my beloved Son, who I am well pleased. So here we understand he promised that he's coming back for those that are his. And the angels gave assurance when he went back to heaven as the gravitation left his feet on this earth, and suddenly he began to float upward, not downward. And as he went up, the angels said, look, this same Jesus is coming back. By the way, I believe that. I'm not looking for an angel or something to come take me to heaven. The same Jesus is coming back. Now, an angel may be present when I leave this body. I believe the Lord has always, we have protected angels. I believe that. Surely goodness and mercy, I believe in the names of angels. But on the other hand, when he comes for the church, he's not sending nobody else. He himself is coming. Jesus Christ himself. Never seen him with my physical eye. And I'll never see him probably with these eyes here, but I'll see him with the glorified eyes. And I'll see him when I leave this body. Why? Because I believe his promises are true. I believe it's as much so today as it was when he came years ago, and today I got saved. So number one, I know he paid the sin price, and I know also he promised to come. And then I know so, if you look in John chapter 17, verse 24, Jesus Christ in this prayer, listen to me, because Jesus prayed for you and I, and watch what he says. Go back again and look with me in John chapter 17, and we go down about verse 24, and here's what Jesus prayed. I love this. Watch, he said, Father, we read last week at the end of the service, Father, I will that they also which thou hast given me, watch now. Jesus said, I will. That's his desire. This is not asking. This is said, oh, this is my will. Did you think that Jesus Christ would ever pray anything out of God's will? I don't. You think that God is not going to answer his prayer? I know he will, because he said here, he's given him the word. And now, back before these verses, he prayed that the Father would look after us until we got to be with him. So I know he's talking about the church here in the future. He said, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me. We've been through that. How does he give us? Placing the body of Christ. It calls baptism or placing or immersion in the body of Christ. It's imaginary seeing that God does for you and I who are saved. He's the head, and all of us make up the body. We make up different parts of the body and so forth. The Church of Corinth tells us about that. Watch this. He said, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me. What's this? And he says, it's my will. Thou hast given me, be with me where I am. I love those double things. It's one thing said, be with me, but when he said, where I am, let me ask you again, where is Jesus tonight? Where? right hand of the Father, sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he says, it's my will, those who've given me, he said again, that they be with me where I am, sitting at the right hand of the Father. By the way, we're there. Don't you think that Holy Spirit knew that when he gave Paul to write in Ephesians 2 about being sitting with him in heavenly places? Tactic. See, that's the wonderful point of the scripture that God gives his people who study the scriptures rather than everything else. And the scriptures, Holy Spirit helps us see this and see this and see this. And there's little inserts of things. And then suddenly one day you're studying and he connects the dots together. And here I see what Jesus has prayed, same thing Paul has said, because Jesus, same place, when Christ talked about where he'd be at here, Paul is saying that's where he's at in Ephesians 2. And he said, we're sitting there in him. And then he goes on and he said, that where they may be also, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And he said, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and have known that thou hast sent me. And so I'm seeing that the price that Jesus paid shows me, truly, if I know him biblically, that I'm headed to heaven. And so are you if you're saved. I also know that the promise Jesus made adds to that. And I know the prayer before he left here. This is amazing that in this particular prayer, he prays this. And all that's to the future now. Not only did he pray with the disciples with him there, not only did he pray about different things and steps as you go through this, but the end results, he prayed for those in the future who believe the word or the record that God gives of his Son, which is speaking about Jesus Christ. So God always answers his Son's prayers. So don't doubt my mind. Jesus would never ask anything out of God's will. If he does, folks, we might as well shut the book and go home. If he's not in the center of God's will where he's doing, then how do we know he's even been down on the cross the center of God's will? He's got to be in the center of God's will all the way from the time he was born to the time he dies. Because if he breaks it anywhere, he could break it anywhere else. So you see, that's why the Holy Spirit bears witness with us that he's true, that what he is saying is true about this thing of eternal life. And if I don't get that right, everything else won't be in right. And you find a lot of folks are traveling in the realm of Christianity that don't have him right, so therefore Christianity can't be right. It's everything except what the Bible talks about, because you can't have Christianity without Christ. And so I go and I begin to see that there is no petition in verse 25 through 26 here. It's a declaration all the time. I find that when you look and what Jesus has said, and I thought this, may I be able to say I have tried to glorify the Lord on this earth in my life. Jesus didn't try. He did. And by the way, someone, well, that's blasphemy. No. By the way, you want to be trying to do it too. When you look at what Jesus said he finished his work in the first few verses here. If you look at the Apostle Paul and you see what he said in 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul said also he finished his work also. So therefore, that means God has a work for us. Have we tried to finish it? Because we're in the body of Christ. He placed us himself. I didn't ask to be wherever he put me in that body. He placed me there. And he says every individual is important in that body until God gets us home and gets out of this body and the body of Christ. We see ourselves in him when we get the glorified body on the other side. So I see here, and I thought about, as I know that there's rewards in heaven, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? Folks, let me ask you something. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to give your life enough in this life and sacrifice and live for God with all the hurt that came, even the fact that you gave, whatever you did, you gave your whole life. And by the way, you give your life, then there's going to be a lot of things you give. And one day, when we stand before him and we come out of the Bema Seat judgment, and there's a reward to be given, I don't know of anything any precious as far as now, though we don't deserve it, and it wouldn't matter if we didn't get it because we're children of God, and therefore we have an inheritance of some things without not called reward because we're family. But God has said, in the family, I'm going to bless and give rewards out. And I know there's five crowns. I'm proving it to you in the scriptures. There's five crowns. Wouldn't it be a blessed thing if some of us could see Jesus with those precious nail-scarred hands put a crown of thorn on us, a crown of glory on us? They're there. They're acceptable. But it's biblical-oriented, not selfish-oriented. And by the way, we're going to see some who get rewards that their works are tried by fire. And there are going to be some crowns. And there are going to be some other things that's there too. Probably brightness and so forth in glory at that time. And so now I've looked at this thing and we went back. We looked at humanity to start with, past and present. Who do you say that Jesus is? We looked at also in heaven. And in heaven, we looked at the angels that did not fall. We looked at angels that did fall on this earth, what they said about when they met Christ while he was on this earth. We looked at the scriptures. We looked at saints of God. But I want to go back a few minutes and look at some saints that were on the earth when Jesus was here and come to our day, and then that'll be this series over with, except for the closing next week. And so when I go back and I look, and I see there's people that had their heart that's in the Bible itself, several people encountered their life with Jesus, and he revolutionized. He changed them completely. That they did not talk like the scribes and the Pharisees and religious people of their day. They talked about people who believed that he was who he said he was. And several people encountered with Jesus that he forever changed their life. And the scriptures tells us that. You remember Simeon in Luke chapter 2, verse 28, down about verse 32 or 35? Simeon has said that God had promised him somehow or another that he would not die until he saw the Messiah, the one that was to be sent. 8 days after Christ was born, he had to go be circumcised, and they took him to the temple. And when they walked in the temple with Christ in their arms, Simeon said this as he took hold of the son, "My eyes have seen thy salvation, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." You couldn't have said that if it weren't him. He would not have lied about that. God identified to him somehow, I don't know how, but he said, this is the one that should come, that he would be sent again, a light to lighten the Gentiles, that's you and I, folks, and the household of Israel. And he's ready to go meet the Lord. Then I see Nathanael in John chapter 1, verse 49. When he was introduced to Jesus right at the start of his ministry, he said, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. He would not have said that of himself, ladies and gentlemen, unless he knew it was so. Because it had been blasphemy. To say that would have a problem with the Israelites, the Jews. But these people didn't care because they knew God bared witness of their heart. That was who he was. I'm talking about some people in the Bible who passed his path, who crossed his path, and it changed their life radically to believe that he was who he said he was and what the scripture said about him. Then I see again Simon Peter. We already seen what he said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what he said. You remember that? We started off with that. And then I see there's the woman at the well in John chapter 4, verse 29. When she went into the city after she met Christ, she said, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Is this not the Messiah? And she only knew the word, not like the Jews did. She was a Samaritan. This is the only one. This is one prophet by God in the Old Testament. Is not this the Christ? And you remember Martha after Lazarus had died, and she sent for him, and Christ waited, and 4 days later he showed up. And Martha came out to him and said, I know, Lord, if you'd been here, God would answer your prayer. But in John 1:27, after Jesus said a few words to her, she said, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Almost same as Peter said, except she said, which is the Son of God, which should come into this world. And then I see also the dying thief, right at the point of leaving this world. Isn't it amazing? I mean, after you see them arguing over, you know, and all kind of ridicule was going on, he turned and said, does not thou fear God? Sin, thou art the same condemnation. Talking to this other thief still inside. And we, he said, we did get justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And then he turned to him and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest thy kingdom. What a simple prayer. You know, he didn't have to do anything but just from the heart. Isn't it amazing? A simple prayer can be from the heart and be just as great as a great prayer, or long prayer, or deep prayer. But he goes on, and he said, and Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Brother, I'll tell you what. You couldn't have got that guy to believe he won't go anywhere except to paradise. And by the way, Jesus said in John, I think 8, in John 8, I call it verse it is, ye shall die in your sins if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And that's true. But if thou confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in the heart God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's true. Isn't it interesting? He tells us what causes us to die without him and what can be done to die with him, because he died for us. And then I move on. I see the centurion in Mark chapter 15, verse 39. He said, truly this man was the Son of God. I'm talking about people that crossed his path somehow or another, even at his death. And what they saw convinced them that he was who he said he was. And then Thomas, the last one we look at, John 20, verse 20 through 28. He was there that morning when Jesus, the first night when Jesus met with the disciples after the resurrection that morning. But he was there the next Sunday night, and he said, my Lord and my God. Before he said, no, you're not getting me to believe until I see his hands and his feet and feel of his side. But when he saw him, he never had to touch him. He never felt of it. He saw him, and he said, my Lord and my God. So we heed the hearts of the Scriptures of people who passed this path and what happened to them that changed their life radically, completely. So let's move from there now, 2,000 years ago, up to where we're at today. And then here's some people God's changed our heart radically. It might have been from the worst place in life to a child of God, or it might have been sitting on a church pew. I'll tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of folks go to hell sitting on a church pew. I say, everybody needs it if you see someone on Skid Row. Everybody sees it when you see one living in sin. But you know, without Jesus Christ, we're all living in sin. Some are just worse than others. And sometimes we can camouflage it, but I'm going to tell you, in Jesus Christ, sin can be forgiven. And we see that in our hearts. So in our hearts today, we hear from people a lot today, more so than ever, but John, his prayer, while he hit in the direction of the right way. We hear a lot today of humans around us that deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, deny that he's the only way of salvation, deny that he may be one way, but there's a lot of other ways. I don't care how you define him, if you define him anyway in a negative way, that he's not who he said he was and can't do what he said he did, ladies and gentlemen, then that's against him. He has to be who he says he is. He's not that because we say it. Did you hear me? He's that because he said it. And when we say what he says, it becomes more than our words. It becomes words that God himself can use to bring people to their knees and to the heart if they heed those words at that time. And so we know that there are those who deny him. But right here tonight, and many across this land will be meeting, that have claimed and indicate that Jesus Christ is who he claimed to be. Let me ask you something. Would you be here tonight if he's not who he said he was? Good knee. Bad as I hate the news, I'd be sitting home looking at it. Why? Because that'd be probably the most entertaining thing you could get. But here, you know, God's word's going to feed our soul. I can't imagine what would happen if I go 7 days and not eat any food at all. I can't imagine a Christian going along without diet of this book. Now, you can diet it at home if you'll study it. But I'm telling you, it's food for the soul, and it helps us in life. And so as I go through, I see some things happen. We've heard enough to be convinced, and I talk about us here tonight. We've heard enough to be convinced about what God has done, that Jesus Christ is someone of whom gave voice that we can know him. 1 John 5 tells us that the record that God gave of his Son, death, burial, resurrection, he gave it. And then we know John 1:12, we believe that record by receiving him as our personal Savior. We have enough to be convinced that Jesus Christ is someone who causes us to make a decision, yea or nay, yes or no. I will not. And for those that will not, then God's already declared it. We can't change if we wanted to. For the foundation of the world, God has already declared beforehand, there's a place called heaven, a place called hell, and God's declared that in Christ you can go to heaven, without Christ you can go to the bad place. Why? Because that's how he ordained it. Well, that don't sound right of God. I thought God's a loving God. And it's hard to explain that except look at Calvary. You'll see how much he loves you. Now, the question is, to the world and to us we've answered that question, is he just a baby at Christmas time? Or just a man hanging on the cross at Easter time? Or is he the crucified and risen Lord of our life? Not just of the world, but of our life. Because that's important. Is he a way to God, just among many ways? Or is he the way, the truth, and the life? John 14:6 says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I'm talking about summing up now who this Jesus is to men, and then who he is to you and I, who are of the generation of Adam, but God has revolutionized our lives because we believe that he's who he said he was. Is he a good man or a good teacher or maybe a prophet of some kind? Or is he the Son of God and our only hope of salvation? I want to tell you something, folks. Without him, there is no salvation. And right now, to say that, you get in trouble in this country. You seen the news this past week? This guy had a store, and in the store, he was talking about Jesus Christ on the way of life, and they brought him up for that. Somebody heard it and said, try to boycott his store because he was saying that. You just wait. You think it's, listen, I and a few of us are going to be off the scene for long, but I'm going to tell you, it's not going to get no better about Jesus Christ. And I feel sorry for the young men coming up now who takes a stand for him because they love to suffer a lot of ways we never had. I'm not talking about in the foreign country, I'm talking right here in America. Because people literally, seemingly hate his name. But aren't you glad you love his name? I love it. I love to say it. I love to sing. Sometimes I can't go to sleep. I just sing Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Say it over and over. You think I was out of my mind. Is he a liar? Or is he a lunatic? Or is he our Lord? I'm asking the question is this way. Have you faced a time when you saw yourself as a sinner and Jesus Christ as your only hope and therefore realized without him we're nothing? With him, we have everything that God offers, his blessed Son. So I hear the scriptures. If I want to back them up, John 3:16, his love. Acts 16:31. Acts 4:12. On the name of the heaven, given to me more Bible to save. Romans 10:9-10. Romans 10:13. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing by the word of God. Those scriptures give you assurance, even troubles times. And ladies and gentlemen, what happens is the question is, where do you stand in the midst of this as who Jesus is to you? Now, why do you say that? Because I guess I hear more than anyone else, but it's not uncommon to talk to anybody today about being saved and they think there's another way, probably in a foreign field somewhere or another. Because they've been taught that God is so loving, he's not going to send anybody to hell to start with. In the end, we're going to go through different channels. We're going to end up there anyhow. Folks, that's not Bible. And you can change what you think it said, but you can't change what God said about it. And the Bible is going to be the word of God that stands in the presence of the people one day that want to be judged by. His word will be judged by that, and the word will close their mouth, quote the book of Romans, when they try to defend themselves about who they were and what they're doing. And so when I talk about who is Jesus, I have to say, who is Jesus to me? You may tell me that he's alive, and I may listen, but I have to come here to find it. I have to go through the scriptures to find that God bears record about who his son is. And the question is your answer one that will guarantee your home in heaven, that you can live with him when you leave this world? Because that's the only true answer you need to have of who you're trusting in. And the fact is your answer the kind that pleases, or you could say, is the answer the kind that pleases the flesh, that pleases the world, that pleases the devil? Or is it the kind that pleases the Lord? The eyes, you see, these three gates, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, the three gates that all sin comes through to you and I. that's seen in this life. And so when I put this together, I began to realize that then who is Jesus to me? The most vital question that I ever answer in my life, and I believe this, and I'll be 60 years old, and I keep saying it, 60 years old, this coming September 29th in the Lord. Somebody said, you're not said. I'm going to say like my mother. You get that old, you have a right to say it. Amen. And I say to you, to understand who he is vital in my life. And the most vital question that I ever answered to God was yes to Jesus when he offered him to me. And I sat on a church pew one time, joined a church, and that didn't do it. So who is Jesus to you? And there's a song I found, I don't have the music for it, I found the words to it. It's called, and I don't know if you ever heard, I never heard this before, What Will You Do With Jesus? And in this song, it goes like this, the word goes like this, and I'll close the night with this, and we'll pick up next week. What would you do with Jesus? Jesus is standing at your heart's door, standing and waiting. He's knocked before. This is the question you face once more. What would you do with Jesus? At your sad heart, he is knocking still, longing to enter your soul to feel. You must accept or reject his will. What will you do with Jesus? Oh, will you leave him alone outside? Oh, will you choose him? Whatever be tied. This is the question you must decide. What will you do with Jesus? And then the course says, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Nature you cannot be. For one day your heart will be asking, what will Jesus do with me? And that's it, folks. I stand in the presence of God, and what will Jesus do with me? Because it's he who says at the great white throne judgment to the unsaved, depart from me, I never knew you. And it's he also who says, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Aren't you glad he said it to your soul? And you might have run, and somebody mentioned this past week, I was talking to about that, said about how we run, you know, from the Lord and so forth. We just run and run, and sometimes we just run out of the listening part. Let me tell you something. God's grace won't run from you. It'll run after you. And it'll continue running after you, to us until we turn him completely away. I believe the unpardonable sin is absolutely say no, no, no. And God sees that. They're going to say that the rest of the time. We can't outrun the grace of God. When it's given, it will do its work. And it takes grace to be saved. It takes grace to stay saved. It takes grace to study this book. Everything. I'm working on a sermon now. I don't know why I ever preach that, but on grace. What grace does for us. Some people say, I'm saved by grace. No, grace is in every phase of our life from beginning to the end. And it's because of God's grace that we will be and stand in the presence of the Lord. So next week we'll talk about a little bit more who is Jesus and sum it up in a kind of a summation. And hopefully the summation will tie some things together and then we'll go to a new study. Father, thank you again for the precious word of God. And Lord, I don't know. I can't do anything. I can't make anybody believe anything, Lord. But I know this. Holy Spirit's powerful. And when people want to know the truth, people will get in. I'd love to know the times that people say, you know, preacher, I listened and I got studying that. And I found some things I didn't know because I was studying what you said. And I found some other things while I was studying that I didn't know. And that's the way the Word of God is. That's the reason you want to. You said, study this book. Reading is good, but reading it don't comprehend like studying. Studying is wearisome, the Bible says. And studying can cause us to be wearisome, but studying can cause us to see some things we've never seen before. Because when we study, Lord, along with you, the Holy Spirit lives in us who wrote this precious book, inspired this word to be written, and he certainly knows more how to bear with our hearts that which is true and put together things that help us. Some of the Bible doesn't seem to reconcile it sometimes. And the world confuses them. They say it can't be the Word of God. Or it's partially inspired. Lord, I'm glad to know that where I can't reconcile something, there's enough that I can to know I'm where I want to be for you. And I know this, that you will help me understand to be satisfied with something that it don't throw me out to think that God's not who he said he is. I'm glad this book is perfect, and I'm not. And I understand that. I'm perfect in the new creation, but in this body, I have to filtrate a lot through this body. This mind still clogged with a lot of stuff, Lord, and I'd put the Word of God in there, and it'll purify it, but eventually you'll find there's some things the mind will clog it out if I'm not careful. And I find this out, I can practice what you tell us to do, and then I begin to see better because it gives us spiritual sight. Thank you for those who are here tonight. Bless, I pray, what's been said. Help us stand on the ground in turn to bring you glory and honor, Lord. The only thing, as Johnny prayed tonight, the only thing that matters is that God gets glory in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.